Hey, good Tuesday morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk right here on 91.5 KUNV. Case Kiefer, Taylor Byrne, Ray Brewer. We're here every Tuesday morning for 30 minutes, even though, guys, I wish today we had an hour. Just so much to discuss. Floyd Mayweather Jr. still in prison. The debacle of the Manny Pacquiao fight to clean up. There's been a lot of talk about September 15th here, boxing with Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., who, FYI, I don't think is as good as his dad, not even close, riding his dad's coattails, if you ask me.
Impressive performance Saturday, though.
How dare he have the same name as his father and ride those coattails?
Yes.
Even though I agree, and I'm sorry that I'm cutting off your intro, that's kind of what all his naysayers were saying going into Saturday, and then he beat Andy Lee with ease.
How good was Andy Lee, though?
I mean, a decent-sized name for boxing. You know, he's in that second tier.
Plus, it was like a home game for Chavez.
That's true.
There.
Wasn't El Paso.
It was just a ton of people. And, of course, Taylor, news out of UNLV, yet another top-notch respected recruit, Savon Goodman, commits to UNLV, and now they are loaded. A lot to talk about there. First, guys, I have to tell you a story about Reno. Anybody who knows me knows I'm like anti-Reno, anti-UNR, anti-whatever it may be. Two quick things. One is I'm a graduate of UNLV. And through the Alumni Association, I got a sales call the other day to try to buy season football tickets. Good deal, $100 for six games. Can't go wrong there. But the guy's like, yeah, we've got cool home games this year. Minnesota, Nevada, Reno. And I'm like, Nevada, Reno? He goes, yeah, Nevada, Reno. I said, I would never buy anything off you if you call it Nevada, Reno. It's UNR. Get your sales bill right. And then, of course, I sent an email jokingly to Jim Livingood, the athletic director. But
did he respond?
He did not respond.
Wow, I think you're being – I understand if you don't want him to be called Nevada, because I understand why people that angers people. So that was kind of ridiculous how they came up with that. But Nevada, Reno, come on.
I really don't understand your issue with Nevada, Reno versus UNR. I don't get it at all.
Well, let me tell you this story. Okay. So we all know that Reno is the third largest city in Nevada behind Las Vegas and Henderson. And they think they've got that Napoleon theory with them where they're the little guy and they know they're little and they want to feel better about themselves. So there's this big competition between Reno and Las Vegas. So I'm doing a story at the Las Vegas 51s on Friday, and their clubhouse manager tells me when Reno – the AAA team beat Las Vegas' AAA team and this Mayor's Cup, a trophy that goes between the two mayors for whatever AAA team is the best record. They celebrated with champagne, and he had to rope off the locker room with plastic. Are you kidding me? Both teams are 30 games out of first place, and these baseball players have now bought into the small-town theory mentality of Reno.
How do you know that Vegas wouldn't have done the same thing had they won?
Are you kidding me? The Mayor's Trophy? And this is like Reno. They hang banners when they go to the NIT tournament.
Vegas, all the players, they just would have been in a hurry to get to the Golden Nugget after the game.
Yeah.
No time for the champagne.
I just can't figure that out. I know it has nothing to do with our show. I know it's me showing a little of the anger of my side. But how do you have champagne and plastic for winning a AAA rivalry when you're not even – you have no attachment to Reno or Las Vegas? It just makes no sense to me.
Here's what really surprised me about the story you told me. The first year they did the Mayor's Cup, I think, was the first year I was here in town, and it was one of my first few months working here, and I got sent to do a kind of big story on print on if anyone cares about the rivalry. And I talked to a lot of people on both sides, and everyone said, no, you know, it's cool that we have this cup, whatever, but we don't care. It's not a real rivalry, you know, whatever. Now I guess, 3 years later, and we're celebrating with champagne. And I would have said this about either side. I think it's kind of ridiculous. These are two teams that weren't very good, the way you tell it. And I guess something has changed since I wrote that story that no one cared, and it wasn't really a big deal to win the Mayor's Cup.
Yeah, well, and here's the deal. I do give Reno credit. They've absolutely killed UNLV in football the last 7 years for a record in the rivalry. And like we had the story this week on LasVegasSun.com, the Gold Nugget puts out its college football lines, and Reno is a 17-point favorite against UNLV at Sam Boyd Stadium. I almost swallowed my tongue when I heard that. 17 points? I thought seven at the most. There's no way that Reno comes in here and despite the last 7 years.
Yeah, what is your evidence that, shouldn't be any more than a touchdown?
Yet you still have a major way down there to drop a limit bet, which is $1,000.
Well, I'd have to have $1,000, which I don't.
All right, well, but you're right. A fourth of a limit.
I do plan on going down there to wager on the game, and I think that after UNLV is very competitive against Minnesota in the opener – over Labor Day weekend.
Wait, isn't that the game that they have to – very competitive. Isn't that their Super Bowl? They have to win that
you're right.
game.
Aren't they so? You're right. They have to win the game. So they're going to be competitive in the game.
You don't
Am I confusing myself in the other game? Aren't they 17-point dogs in that game?
No, they didn't have a line for that Minnesota game.
Okay, what's
game?
The other one they were
Washington
17
State,
point
Okay,
Washington
point.
State.
And then Boise, was it 34 Probably. At Boise? I'm just saying that – And I know I've totally gotten off topic on our little quick hit show here today, but do you agree with me with 17, Taylor? You cover the team. You've been out to a few practices. Case, you bet a few football games in your tenure living here. Is 17 just a little too high? Can we agree on something?
This team's won four games over the last 2 years. I would accept basically any line that was put out there. Like if it was 12, I'd think that's reasonable too. You know, I think if you get into single digits – probably not, just based on history, but you know, 17. If you think UNLV is going to be that good, then perfect. You've got some value there. But I also, you know, I don't think that there's been any evidence to suggest that it should be, you know, probably less than two touchdowns.
Here's what I'll say. I told you the other day, and I stick to it. I thought it would be 14 or 15. So obviously, it's a couple points off. But here's the other thing: if you look at those numbers. The only people that are really betting into these are the guys that do this for a living. They go down there and they bet $1,000 a game when they open. I believe by that afternoon, a whole bunch of games had swapped. There are teams I thought were underrated. I know a bunch of Ohio State games went their way. I can't remember the other teams. But the UNLV games, really, the numbers stayed the same. So that tells you that the market, they kind of got it right, at least based on, you know, guys' opinions that know what they're doing. I'm pretty sure it stayed at about 17. So I really have no problem with it. If you were forcing me to take a side right now, I would take UNLV because they are at home, and I thought it would be 14 or 15. But I don't really have any problem with the 17. And if you're giving me 7, I will take UNR in an instant. Give me a nice little middle there.
See, my thing is that I think the reason why the line hasn't moved is the fact that the public or the professional handicappers just don't know what to expect from UNLV. You know, they don't know who's going to be the quarterback. There's a ton of kids on both sides of the ball that are going to be three-year players, which I think eventually that experience has got to pay off, even if they're getting destroyed.
And doesn't that, unknowing, wouldn't that suggest that they would be more likely to bet heavy on – what is it? What's the acceptable term? UNR? We're not to say
UNR.
Nevada Reno.
Yeah, never say right? Nevada Reno.
Can I get a brief, and I emphasize brief, description of why that's a problem versus UNR? I don't get the difference.
It's because when they say it, because they want to be called Nevada.
So before I ever moved here, I knew them as UNLV and Nevada and had no idea why that was a problem.
Because they send out information to people saying, we want to be called Nevada. Yeah. That's why.
They're the Nevada Wolfpack.
No, they're not. There's two universities in the state of Nevada, UNR and UNLV. You don't say, hey, I'm the beat writer for the University of Nevada at Las Vegas basketball team.
No, I don't.
Because it's the UNLV basketball team. Because like when those bums up there.
To me, that could be Nevada.
When those bums up there from Northern Nevada, when they say, oh, it's the University of Nevada, and then they take a pause. Oh, at Reno.
I'm kind of in between on this to get the median theory. When I came here, I only knew them as Nevada and UNLV. I said Nevada. You yelled at me. I thought it was weird. Then I kind of learned the history and talked to people around UNLV, and I do think it's kind of I'm trying to think of a nice term I can use here. I think it was ridiculous that they didn't get approval. They didn't get anything. They just decided we want to be known as Nevada, despite it was in UNLV's athletic heyday. It was kind of a desperate attempt to get some attention. I don't agree with that. I think they should be called Reno, UNLV. I agree with you on that, but I don't see what the difference is between Nevada, Reno, and UNR.
So was it? This was like a marketing campaign by them?
No, just
and the way the thing that really drives me crazy is how much they are just so gung-ho about it. They go crazy.
Yeah, even when I profiled this girl, local girl that went to UNR who made some kind of field goal at like the Dr. Pepper Challenge, and I sent their SID an email to get an interview with somebody, and I called them UNR in the email, and his first response was not like, hey, we'll set the interview up. It was like, hey, FYI, it's Nevada.
Oh, yeah. He's got to toe the company line. Why not?
Yeah, and it is what it is, and listen.
I'm intrigued by this.
Great academic school, UNR. Another thing that drives me crazy is you go to Reno and you don't see one person with UNLV state license plates up there, even though they're available. You come here and all you see is UNR state license plates.
I have never seen a UNR state license plate.
I've seen a few.
Well, but
I think that kind of proves your point, though, that more people want to live here.
Yeah, and it seems like a completely – I can see the inferiority complex that you're talking about possibly with Reno. My thought of it from Vegas's perspective is, why does anybody here care what they want to call themselves?
It's like – let me explain it to you. You went to Kansas. You went to Kansas. Both of you guys went to Kansas. UNLV is Kansas, and Reno is Kansas State.
Yeah, and I don't care what Kansas State decides to do. Okay. They can – like, you know – they could, yeah. I don't know how to explain it any better than that. You know, like they're an institution that I don't pay much mind to.
Yeah. To me, I think a better comparison. And this isn't perfect because these schools aren't big, but it would be like all those little tiny schools in Texas, like UT San Antonio, UT Arlington. It would be like one of them declaring, "Now we are Texas."
Except that there is a Texas.
I know there is a Texas is what ruins it, but that's kind of what I feel it's like. Yeah, like San Antonio says, we aren't San Antonio anymore, we're Texas.
Do people at the University of Texas, is it technically the University of Texas at Austin, though?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, well, there you go.
It's the same, like Nebraska is technically UNL, University of Nebraska at Lincoln.
Yeah.
But it's Nebraska. Well, and you know, I think that's fine. The same way I would think that UNR is Nevada.
Well, just for whatever it's worth.
It doesn't like suddenly make them better in basketball or football or change anything. It's just their title. It, you know, whatever they want to do, more power to them.
I'm going to keep calling them UNR because I think it's funny how mad it makes them.
Yeah.
But then you want to call them Nevada Reno.
No.
Or no, it's no. UNR. See, that's a problem.
Never mentioned, because what they do is they're like, yeah, we're the University of Nevada. Boss, wait for it. Oh, at Reno.
Yeah.
LasVegasSun.com sports talk. Every Tuesday's right here on 91.5 on your FM dial. A lot to talk about today. And for UNLV basketball, it just keeps getting better. A lot of talent now in the fold. Savoy Goodman, 6'6".
Savon,
same not thing. 6'6", 205 from Philadelphia. A great addition to the team. Another top 70 recruit, depending on what website you go with. And all of a sudden, Taylor, like you write today on LasVegasSun.com, a lot of mouths to feed, a lot of options.
Yeah, and they did use the final scholarship heading in, which I was a little bit surprised about, but part of that was that for a while it looked like Goodman was going to be reclassifying to next year, so he would be class of 2013 instead of 12, which was another UNLV target, Anthony January. He did that earlier this offseason, and that was just kind of the word around him. But then, he was able to get things in order, kept it with this class, and it basically came down for him, UNLV and SMU, which certainly – you know, I don't know SMU's roster very much, but, you know, hired Larry Brown, got a good staff there. Seems like there would have been more immediate opportunity there, but he liked UNLV. Mike Moser and Kem Birch. Kem Birch seriously needs to get credit as, like, the best recruiter UNLV has had in the last decade, because he's played a hand in almost all of the big pieces that have been coming in. And it's just a stacked field. They have all their scholarships now. And, redshirting is going to be interesting. I felt like I knew kind of what was going to happen before this edition. Now, you know, I don't know. I don't think Dave uses a third redshirt. So I think, you know, it'll then either be Savon that stays. But it also, you know, it's up in the air with Roscoe right now. Whether he ends up getting the hardship waiver, whether he would be eligible for this year or not, that may take some of the decision out of Dave's hands. But a lot to be excited about. You know, I think they've picked up basically a big guy every month in the off season, and they're just barreling towards August when they get to practice before the Canada trip, when everybody kind of gets a first look at them, and then they go up there and play some exhibition games. And you know, they're going to be playing some good competition up there, and it'll be very interesting. Dave said he's going to kind of throw some different lineups around, see, and basically just kind of see what sticks. You know, they need that time to figure out what this team can be. They will not lack for talent in, you know, any game, but how the pieces fit, you know, that's going to be a big question.
Sorry, I couldn't really listen to all what you were saying because I forgot that Larry Brown is now the coach at SMU, and weird, that kind of left me for a chuckle.
Super weird.
But the thing I wanted to ask you about that I wanted to bring up, and I'm sure Brewer will have some strong thoughts on this too, I thought you tweeted, and the story you wrote today is just like Taylor made for talking about on the radio, is it not? The whole thing,
right.
if the newcomers played the guys that are already here. My thing is, I think it's ridiculous. It sounded like in your story that the feedback, I love the newcomers. I think this is huge for UNLV. I think give them a couple years and they would beat the guys now easily. But your story made it sound like more people are taking the newcomers. If I see that game right now, I am betting a load on the guys that are already here. Are you kidding me? I mean, this is one time where I agree with Brewer. Experience matters. These guys have been, you know, coached up to where they are. I think pure talent-wise, the new guys might be better. But also, they play a bunch of the same positions, mm-hmm. if I'm not right, a bunch of big guys. And I got to think, if you have the top two picks, you're still taking Moser first, right? And then you maybe have to think if you're taking Bennett or Marshall, but I would probably take Marshall. I want to start my team with Marshall and Moser. Give me the guys that are already here minus five in that game. I would take it.
Yeah, it's an interesting discussion. I think the reason people, and I even kind of when I looked at it, I was like, man, that's a lot of talent. You've got at least 6 4-star guys on the newcomers team. And just for those who haven't read it on LasVegasSun.com, the newcomers includes Birch and Bryce Deshaun Jones. And it was basically just everybody who was eligible for UNLV last year versus the 8 new guys coming in. It'd be 8-on-8. You know, the case against the returners is that their bench is 3 practice players. And so, like, if you're having Brian Glenn play significant minutes, you're in trouble. But as long as you can avoid that.
I've never even heard of that guy.
Exactly.
Because he barely cracked the Coronado varsity team.
Yeah. He's a fun guy, though. But, you know, Wade Norman, and I mentioned this in the story, that kid can play. From what I've seen, I honestly think that he could go to a lot of schools and play. So you've got at least one guy coming off the bench. Barry's all right. But, yeah, the fact that those guys have played together for so long, I think in one game, that's where you've got to go. But it's crazy. If you look at those two, they could both be like top 4 Mountain West teams.
Oh,
if,
absolutely.
If those were separate teams. I think in the story I called them, if you know, the returners were UNLV and the other guys were like Las Vegas A&M or something like that, those would both be like top tier Mountain West teams.
Who's the point guard for Vegas A&M though? Because isn't Reinhardt
you would have Reinhardt or Cook. And that was the thing. With my lineup, I put Reinhardt at 1, but I said a possible – you know, another thing was moving Deshaun Jones to 3, Reinhardt to 2, and put Cook at 1.
LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, talking the new-look UNLV basketball team. And, Taylor, I don't care what 5 players are on the floor, what combinations there are, I still find 2 problems. Number 1 is you've got 8 new players, all highly thought of. That's a lot of mouths to feed, a lot of people that think they're the man you've got to make happy. How is the chemistry mm-hmm. going to work with those guys? Are they going to be unselfish? Are they going to feed off each other? You know, could it become a team and not just 8 parts on a piece of paper? And then 2, I still don't feel confident about somebody's ability to hit the outside shot, and that offense is still predicated on making the 3. And, you know, Reinhardt, of course, is a wild card, was a great high school shooter. Can it carry over to UNLV, and how many minutes is he going to get as a freshman?
When you talk about the outside shot, are you talking in general or, like, you know, at the end, like, needing like, –
No, I'm talking like general, shot. Minute 1 to minute, you know, 40. Mm-hmm. Who's going to make your 3-pointers? Lives and dies
most
on
the Most
on
of the
3.
Time, you're going to have a lineup with 4 guys that can shoot from out there because Bennett can stretch it out there. Moser's going to be playing mostly, you know, out on the perimeter. Whether you think that's a good thing or not, that's what's going to be happening. And then, you know, Hawkins has shown the ability. I think you can give – I honestly put
more, Hawkins is
put
not,
more on Justin Hawkins.
He's I think he's a great guy.
Whether that's more point guard duties, whether it's more shooting, whatever it is, put more on him.
Great defender, Justin Hawkins. Great in spurts offensively. Can he shoulder the load, you know, of significant offensive responsibilities, including bringing the rock up the court? I don't think so.
Well, those are two different things. You're talking about offensive, significant offensive numbers, or bringing the rock, you know, being the point guard.
He's
those
not
are,
the
those
point
are different
guard.
Ideas.
He's not,
but he can handle it
for a minute and a half.
No.
I'm telling you, if he's the point guard, he's not the point guard of a top 10 team. I said, great defender. Great guy to have around, could give you some spurts offensively, not going to bring the – I'd rather have the Cook kid bringing the rock up the court for
No,
him.
Absolutely. Yes. You would rather have freshman Cook come in at point than give it to fourth-year senior Justin Hawkins. Case Kiefer's making the right face.
That's fine. That's ridiculous. Do you hate Justin Hawkins?
I don't hate Justin.
Did he kick your dog?
No, I'm telling you right now, he's this time last year, Justin Hawkins was like a 12-minute-a-game guy, and then all of a sudden he flourished a little bit under Coach Rice. I don't think he's a guy that's going to give you 25 minutes and score a lot of points.
He already played 25 minutes.
He's not – trust me, they couldn't win on the road. They lost 6-9.
That's not
They got knocked out of the tournament. They lost in the home court to San Diego State.
I'm sorry. I forgot that all of that was Justin Hawkins' fault.
No, it's not his fault.
That's my bad for not realizing that.
No, I'm just saying, brother. Bryce Deshaun Jones is the man. The backcourt's going to have to be Marshall and Jones.
Yeah, well, Jones is like a two or a three. So are we talking the backcourt? But Deshaun Jones should be more of an offensive weapon consistently than Hawkins. We agree there.
So what's the problem?
We were talking about the point.
You're right.
with these guys on the floor, Marshall and Reinhardt or Jones with, you know, just say Moser and Bennett, just for argument's sake, what's the problem with Hawkins just dribbling the ball up the court and throwing it to get into the offense, setting a screen?
And a lot of the questions with Marshall as the point guard is the fact that he can be more of a shoot-first guy. He likes to distribute and tries to, but occasionally he ends up just, you know, especially like going on runs where he's just taking a lot of shots, and that can – you know, kind of limit the offense. You're not passing it around. I don't think Hawkins has that same way. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's unknown because he hasn't handled it a lot. And you also, Caton can handle the ball.
He can.
You know, how much they want him to do that. All of this, look at all these questions we have, and this is just small lineup stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many possibilities with that. And that's why I think so many people are excited about it, when you start to figure out how this puzzle can fit together.
I think you're a little bit underestimating how many times, unless it's like an absolute top-level five-star guy, do you see freshman point guards struggle. They're just not used to the speed of the game, stuff like that. They commit a lot of turnovers. So me, I would much rather have Hawkins dribbling the ball up even more than a Reinhardt, or especially this Cook.
Yeah, I'm going to let you slide on that Cook over Hawkins thing, because I think you
I
just,
said bringing the ball up the court. That's
you
it.
You weren't thinking clearly. You know, maybe it was some bad tea or something. But I'll let that slide. I won't bring that up again.
The mulligan of the day, LasVegasSun.com sports talk, breaking down UNLV basketball. Taylor the Goodman, the new player, 6'6". He's kind of
about 210.
210, kind of like Roscoe Smith looking in the mirror.
They're just like, they just found a machine that kicks out, you know, good-sized wing players and gets them to UNLV. The length on this team is amazing.
Yeah, and that's, you know, you always like a team when they get off the bus, they pass the eye test.
Mm-hmm.
And this team will definitely do it. What I found interesting is that both Smith and Goodman kind of said that, hey, if I'm willing to redshirt to be part of this, mm-hmm. which you rarely see with top 80, 100 guys. They're thinking they're going to get theirs and, you know, be in the league and being on Adidas commercial in the next year. And that unselfishness, for me at least, is kind of positive moving forward. I don't know if – to me, I think they're different than Moser, though. I'm still not sold on Moser being a solid wing guy that's going to play face in the basket. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. To me, his jump shot just isn't that good.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the main things that he has to work on this summer. You know, his ball handling has to improve. His shooting for sure has to improve, because it definitely tanked when his legs disappeared at the end of last year. But, You know, that's just that's the way that it's going to be. And so, you know, he just has to get better with it. And I know he's putting in the work this summer. Whether that translates, you know, it's tough to tell. But you're right that it's a very good sign that so far, you know, everybody's kind of being unselfish. Everybody saying the right things. It's just a matter of, you know, executing that.
LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, breaking down Southern Nevada's sports scene here every Tuesday on 91.5.
We even went to Northern Nevada today.
Yeah, we did. We laid it out. Case, about 3 minutes left in the show. Give us a quick recap of what's happening in the squared circle in boxing. It's been quite an entertaining little go-round, correct? Start with your friend Floyd.
Yeah, well, I'm sure as you've probably been following on LasVegasSun.com or other media outlets, Floyd, lawyers issued an appeal, I guess, for lack of better words, that can't come to me right now, to get out of prison early last week after, 10 or 11 days, saying that it was endangering his career. It was an inhumane environment. He can't drink tap water. He can only drink bottled water, so he's dehydrated, needs to work out. And they asked him to do the rest of his stint in jail on home arrest, which luckily the judge did not grant right away, which I kind of thought she might. So Floyd's still in jail as of now, and looks like this comical issue is behind us.
Real fast, I actually I thought it was, you know, crazy that they'd even ask for him to be released. But if you read some of their argument, it made a little bit of sense. You know, because of his celebrity status, the Clark County Detention Center couldn't handle it. And for liability issues, they essentially have put him in lockdown 23 hours a day, solitary confinement, which is for a much harsher criminal than what he is. And he's and because of that, they argued that, you know, he's not getting everything he needs, and they argue for his release. Now,
Him being locked by himself has nothing to do with him refusing to eat the food and drink the water there.
I
that's
know.
Just on him.
That is on him, but, you know, the guys in the yard – you know, get the workout and all that stuff. And he could, like I said, I could see minorly a little bit of it. I was like Case. I thought this judge, you know, who'd obviously had shown the ability to bend for Floyd, was gonna break again and grant it. So he looks like he'll be in through August, and the world is back on backspinning in the right direction.
I agree with you. I think the confinement thing was a decent argument, and it's actually worked for other celebrities to where they get to go home. But we got to remember, this isn't a guy that got a couple DUIs. Maybe domestic violence counts as a little bit worse offense.
I agree with you. And only 90 days for domestic violence, second offense doesn't really scream congratulations either. So LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. Of course, half the week last week was talking Pacquiao Bradley. I watched the replay Saturday and still judged it about 116-112 in favor of Pacquiao.
I did not watch the replay, but I'm assuming that I bet Pacquiao still won.
I texted you during the replay. I've been doing a lot of combat sport TV watching, so I'm ready to talk about it. We always talk about it here on LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. We'll talk to you again next week right here on Tuesday, 91.5.